Ruchim Abayim Rabotai, welcome. It's Wednesday. That's the day that we study Sefer Tehillim. Rav David HaMelech Alav HaShalom. Today's Shi'ur has been dedicated by one of our listeners, actually a daughter of one of our listeners, for HaRefuah Shelema, Rachel Bat Esther, that is Mrs. Rochelle Soldanar. El Narefanala, Refuat HaNefesh, Refuat HaGuf, Refuat HaKaruba Labo, V'chein Yiratzon, V'nomar, Amen. This is definitely a good dedication. We're learning the mitzvah of Tehillim. Tehillim is good for Refuah, so Be'ezrat Hashem, it should serve her well, and to her daughter, Baruch Hashem, that has Kibud Em, that made this dedication in her honor. Rabotai, it should be known that this project in general is a project that was inspired by the Meddev family in memory of the Tzadeket, Mrs. Lily Leah Meddev Bat Virginia. And Be'ezrat Hashem, the project is accepted well by our members and by Klal Yisrael, and I have no doubt it's elevating her holy neshama. The custom in the Shi'ud is to do one chapter a week. And according to my calculations, it puts us at the sixth chapter, Perek Vav. This chapter over here begins, Lamnaseyam bin Ginot ala Sheminit Mizmor le David. Okay, well, the simple explanation is, Sheminit we know is the eighth. So what is this referring to, the eighth? So the Mitzudat Sion says, Kli zemer ba'alat shemona nimin. When it came to this chapter, David HaMelech used an instrument that has eight strings to it. Sometimes David HaMelech would use the ale asor. That would be the instrument that has 10 strings to it. For some reason, he chooses the eight-stringed instrument for this chapter. Now, I have no doubt that any time you hear sheminit, eight, without a doubt, the first thing you think of is Brit Milah, which is given on the eighth day. As a matter of fact, on this chapter, the Gemara in Menachot, on Daf Mem Gimal Amud Bet. The Gemara in front of me, look at that, Abotai, we jumped into the Gemara already. We didn't even begin yet, already we're in the Gemara swimming. That's how we learn the chapter. We're going to learn it through the eyes of Chazal. Not through the eyes of Art Scroll, meaning your English interpretation. We want to understand the chapters in depth, what's going on. Gemara Menachot Daf Mem Gimal, I'm reading. Gemara says, Taru Rabbanan, Habibim Yisrael, the Jewish people are beloved. Shesibivan HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'mitzvot. You know how we know that we're beloved? Because God surrounds us by mitzvot. You ever hear surround sound? This is not surround sound. This is surround mitzvot. Tefillin b'rashehen. Tefillin on their heads. Utfillin b'zro'otehem. And tefillin on their arms. V'sisit b'bigdehem. That's the four sides of v'sisit. U'mezuzah lefitchehem. And a mezuzah on their doorposts. So imagine, the old custom was in the olden days, when a person would get up to go to the Beit Knesset, he would put on his tefillin in his house. So he would leave the doorpost, and he would have the talet, the tefillin, and the mezuzah, seven mitzvot. And on this, the pasuk says, Ve'alehem amar David, Sheva bayom illalticha. Sheva bayom is referring to the seven mitzvot. The four sisiyot, tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel rosh, and the mezuzah. When David HaMelech went to the Minhas. The simple explanation is he went to the Mikveh. He went to the Beit HaMinhas. Now what happens in the Beit HaMinhas? There's no mezuzah on the Beit HaMinhas. That's the halakha. You don't put a mezuzah on a Mikveh. Furthermore, you take off your sisit. Obviously you cannot wear sisit in the Mikveh. Obviously you take off your tefillin as well. So David HaMelech realized at that moment, V'ra'ah atzmo Omed Arum. He was Arum. Arum doesn't only mean naked from clothes, but Arum in a mitzvot. He has no mitzvot. Amar, oili, She'emod arum belo mitzvah. How could I remain over here even for a moment without a mitzvah? Although I don't understand where his question is. He still has pe'ot. Doesn't he have pe'ot on the side of his head? But for some reason, pe'ot didn't register. So what does he say? The Gemara comes along and says, "Bekevan sheniskar b'mila." He remembered, oh, mitzvah b'mila. Shive b'saro, on his flesh. Nityasheva da'ato. And he was appeased. He said, oh, we have to brit mila. I'm good. I'm covered. Lehar sheyatza, after he came out of the mikveh, he wrote this chapter in Tehillim. Amar aleha, he wrote a chapter, sheneemar, lam naseyah, and we have the girsa, binginot, ala sheminit, mizmor de David. So we know when he wrote this chapter. He said, oh, lam naseyah, ala sheminit. This is the story of the sheminit. What is the sheminit? Ad mila, that's given ala sheminit. Ala mila, shenitna v'shemini. Oh, so now we understand what the theme of this chapter is. This was a chapter that David HaMelech was inspired when he realized that he has the mitzvah of Milah. I saw a beautiful explanation from Rabbi Shlomo Zarka in his Pirush on the Tehillim, and he said, the question that I asked, hey, what about the Pe'ot? Why was he excited that he has the mitzvah of Milah? He has other mitzvot as well. So he says that, what does it mean when it says in the Midrash, for example, Tefillin is so great, the mitzvah of Tefillin is so great, it's shakul kereged kol ha-mitzvot. What does that mean, it's shakul kereged kol ha-mitzvot? By the way, the Gemara says that as well by mezuzah, because they make a hekesh between Tefillin and mezuzah, it's in the same pasuk, ukshartam ukhtaptam, that mezuzah is kineged kol ha-mitzvot, and we know sisit is kineged kol ha-mitzvot. That we know, everybody knows that shikula mitzvot sisit kineged kol ha-torah kula. So Rav Shlomo Zarka asks, what does that mean, it's kineged kol? So he says beautifully. He says, because as Jews, we try to fulfill all the teriyag mitzvot, but it's physically impossible to fulfill the teriyag mitzvot. Why? Some of them don't come to us. Mitzvat Yibum, Mitzvat Halitza, not everybody has that situation. Brit Milah even, not anybody has a baby boy, Pidyon HaBen, for example. Not every mitzvah comes to us, and certain mitzvot, nobody can fulfill because we don't have a Beit HaMikdash. So he says, that's why God gave us wild card mitzvot. A wild card mitzvah is ke'ilu you mekayim all the mitzvot in the Torah. So when you fulfill the mitzvah of Sisit, you get credit for kol ha-mitzvot. When you fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah, it's keneged kol ha-mitzvot. And when you fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin, so those three wild card mitzvot are universal. So when you connect to these three essential mitzvot, you get keneged kulam. That's why David HaMelech was so excited when it came to these three mitzvot. Sheva bayom elalticha, he says, these seven mitzvot, which means the four sisiyot, two tefillin and one mezuzah, that's keneged kol ha-torah kulah. And therefore David HaMelech is able to mitaken all the other mitzvot. So he wanted to be connected to these mitzvot constantly. What happened? Came into the mikveh. Now he had no mezuzah, no tefillin, no sisi. Pe'ot is good, but pe'ot is not connected to the Torah kula. The pe'ot is not a universal. So therefore he was saying, wait, there has to be another, but God will never leave us without a mitzvah that it's impossible to fulfill, kol ha-Torah kula. The reason why we call the brit a brit, okay, brit is a covenant, I understand that. But the brit milah, if you take the numerical value of the word brit, bet, resh, yud, taf, is 612. To teach you that the milah is connected to the other 612 mitzvot. And therefore, kevan sheniskar b'milah, when he remembered the hiddush of the brit milah, which is also connected, kol ha-mitzvot, he said, Baruch Hashem, God did not leave us. And that's the explanation the Maharsha says, why he refers in this chapter when he came out of the Benhas, what does he say? Lam naseyam biginot ala sheminit. Now, why would he call Brit Milah sheminit? You know what I would say? It's simple. Because which day is the Brit Milah on? The eighth day. Hazak Baruch Bayom sheminit. But based on what we're learning now, no, because that's the eighth mitzvah that's keneged kulam, which means that she said sheva bayom elalticha. But he said, you don't have the sheva when you're in the mikveh. So when he came out of the mikveh, he remembered the brit milah. He said, "Lam naseya ala sheminit," meaning the eighth mitzvah that's keneged כל התורה כולה. Furthermore, we explain that it might be called Sheminit Brit Milah, because who was the first one to get the mitzvah Brit Milah? Avraham Avinu Alav Shalom. Now, how many mitzvot did Avraham Avinu have before the Brit Milah? Well, he has the laws of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noah. So it comes out that the Brit Milah was actually the eighth mitzvah that was given to Avraham Avinu. So therefore, that's why David HaMelech says, Lam Nasem Binyot Ala Sheminit, on the eighth mitzvah of Avraham Avinu Alav Shalom. Nonetheless, Mizmor Le David, that was the song of David. Now, I saw a beautiful explanation from a sefer called Mekor Mayim Hayim. And he comes along and he says, Apia Derash, when David HaMelech was coming out of the Mirhatz, so he says there's two types of Mirhatz. There's the actual bathhouse, you know, the Hammam we call it in Arabic. But there's another type of Mirhatz. That's the spiritual Mirhatz. David HaMelech was coming before Yom HaKippurim. And David HaMelech now, כשנכנס למרחץ, he went to the מרחץ, הרחץ בנקיון כפיי. He went in order to cleanse himself in a spiritual way. And he came along and he said, let me go now make introspection. יפשפש במעשיו. יפשפש במעשיו. And he started to look and he found out, אני ערום מן המצוות. I don't have any מצוות. Because he realized that every mitzvah that a person does, it's not 100% l'shem shamayim. There's always interest. There's always, ulterior motives. There's people watching. There's kavod. And people doing it for other things. So he started to scrutinize all his mitzvot. And he said he found himself arum in a mitzvah. That he's missing the mitzvot. There's no mitzvah that's l'shem shamayim. But then it says, kevan sheniskar b'milah. Milah is one of the few mitzvot that the child does l'shem shamayim. Why? He's 8 days old. What's the child thinking? He's not thinking for kavod. He's not thinking for the reward. As a matter of fact, his father does it. And therefore, when he saw the brit milah, he said, "Lefahot, I have one mitzvah over here that I know that was done b'li shum piniyot, without any ulterior motives, without any agendas. That was the mitzvah that was done." L'shem Shamayim. And that's why at the Brit Milah, Rabotai, we say to the baby that's being born, K'shem shenichnas l'Brit, kach yikanes l'Torah mitzvot. That just like you entered the Brit 100% L'shem Shamayim, and you don't have any objective, and you have motives, and you're not doing it for any purposes, kach yikanes l'Torah mitzvot. So too you should enter all the mitzvot with the same purity that you have at the time of the Brit Milah. But Rabotai, I'd like to explain a deeper explanation of this first chapter. The question that I had is, Lam Naseyam Beginot Ala Sheminit. Over here it says, Ala Sheminit. It doesn't say Ala Shemini. Ala Sheminit, it says. So I'd like to explain it based on something that's brought down in the Sefarim HaKiddushim. The Sefarim HaKiddushim come along and say that, well, how should I explain this over here? There's a reason why Brit Milah is on the eighth day. Ultimately, it's a chok, I know that. B'yom HaShemini Yimol, it's a chok. But there's a reason according to the holy books. We know that there are 10 sefirot starting from Keter, making your way all the way down to Malchut. The 10 sefirot, and all the Shefa in the world comes via these sefirot. Let's assume that the sefirot are like pipes, and the influence that God sends down to the world is through the 10 sefirot. Now, starting from when the child is born, the holy books say, the child gets a beracha and a connection to the lowest sefirah, which is called Malchut. That's the first day. On the second day after he's born, he starts to move up. He gets a connection to the Yesod. On the third day, he starts to move up to Hod, and then to Netzach, and then to Tiferet, and then to Geburah, and then to Chesed. And on the eighth day, already he connects to the higher levels. Because in the Sefirot, the top three are considered the Gimel Rishonot, we call it the Gar, which is the Rosh, and then you have the lower seven. The top three Sefirot are Keter, Chokhmah, Binah. On the eighth day, the child already enters the world that's called Olam Binah, which is a higher world, which is above the seven, which is Lema'la Min HaTeva, which is already a high Madriga. And the question they ask is, so if on the eighth day already the child is reaching the level that's called Bina, which is a very, very high level, the She'ela is, I understand how he gets Bina. The father does the mitzvah. The mitzvah lifts the kid up to get to that high level. But what does the child do the first 7 days to get the first seven sefirot? How does he connect to the first seven? The kid's just lying there. The kid's doing nothing. The kid's under incubator sometimes to get rid of the jaundice. The guy's nursing all day long. What zichut does the kid have on the first 7 days that he gets the first seven sefirot? So there's a beautiful explanation that it says on the pasuk. The pasuk is brought out in Bereshit Lamed Aleph. Vayamol Avraham et Yitzhak beno, and Avraham circumcised his son Yitzhak ben Shimonat Yamin. Oh, ben Shimonat Yamin. Now, shouldn't the pasuk say ben Shimonah Yamin? What is Shimonat Yamin? Shimonat means all 8 days. Not all eight. He didn't mal him all 8 days. He mal'd him on the eighth day. Ben Shimonah. But it says, Vayamol Avraham et Yitzhak beno ben Shimonat Yamin. As if he mal'd him for 8 days. So in the Sidur of Rab Shabbatai, it's one of the Mikubalim, he says something incredible. He says, Avraham Avinu for 8 days was waiting to mal his son. Which means he was waiting for the moment in order to circumcise his son. Which means he couldn't wait. On the first day, when can I do the milah? On the second day, when I... And we know that there's a law that says, Hashav la'asot mitzvah, that when you think to do a mitzvah, and you can't do it, like in this case, because it's not the time yet. Kilu asa. So therefore, in Abraham's virtual mind, it's like he mal Yitzhak 8 times. So, Vayamol Abraham et Yitzhak ben Shimonat Yamim. He mal them 8 times. So says Rav Shabbatai, every single day that the father craves to do the milah, the child connects to one of the sefirot. It's the father's kavanah. So the first day the father's mechaven, I wish I could do it today. No, it's too early, can't do it yet. Malchut comes in. Next day, yesod, and so on and so forth. That's why David HaMelech over here, I think, says, Lamnaseyam biginot ala sheminit. He doesn't say ala shemini. Ala sheminit is referring to Shemonat Yamin, which means the key of the Brit Milah is for the father to mechaven all 8 days in order to allow the beracha of the sefirot, so the child can connect and elevate himself to the level of the Bina. If this chapter, so that's the foundation of Botai. So the foundation of the chapter is the Brit Milah chapter. That's when David HaMelech wrote it, when he came out of the Merchatz and he was niskar on the Milah. If that's the case, we must see another remez, which I was looking for, about Brit Milah. So look at Pasuk. Look at Pasuk Gimal. Well, by the way, look at Pasuk Bet. Why are you skipping the Gimal? Let's go to Bet first. Rabotai. You remember when Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom, and one of the Pesukim says, Ki yagorti mepene ha'af ve'ahema. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of two mazikim. One was called af, and one was called hema. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ki yagorti, I'm afraid of that. Can you believe Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of something? Why was he afraid of the af and the hema? These are two different mazikim. Moshe Rabbeinu was going down to Egypt. He has his son Eliezer. Eliezer was not circumcised. So what happened? God says, go down to Egypt, take the people out. Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom was in a dilemma. Does he circumcise Eliezer on the way down? If he does that, he's not going to be able to travel because he can't travel after the child's circumcised. Sakana. And then he's delaying God's commandment. If he doesn't circumcise him, it's the time of the Midah. So Moshe Rabbeinu compromised and said, I'll circumcise him when I get down to Egypt. So he, with well intentions, of course, delayed the Brit Milah v'Eliezer. What happened, Rabotai? The Gemara says, all of a sudden, a snake came. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, this snake was actually a double snake. One is called Af and one is called Hema. And it came and swallowed Eliezer from the head and from the bottom. And Sipura ran in, and all she sees is the child being swallowed up, and all you see is the Brit Milah. So she understood that this is an onesh for the Brit Milah. So it says she took the rock, and she did the Brit Milah. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ki yagorti mipnei ha'avei ha'ema. I'm afraid of the Avei ha'ema, because I met the Avei ha'ema when I was coming down to Egypt. I saw them what they did to my son. So David HaMelech says, in the zichut of the Brit Milah, look at the next pasuk. Adonai al be'apecha tochihayani. There's no af, al be'apecha. No af with this Brit Milah. I don't have to worry about the Hema either. So David HaMelech is hinting over here that those that have the Brit Milah are protected from Afi Hema. So the first Pasuk is Brit Milah, the second Pasuk is Brit Milah. Now if we can get the third Pasuk for Brit Milah, then we call that Azakah, and then we have a beautiful understanding. Let's go to the third Pasuk now. If you listen, Rabotai, I'm going to teach you a tremendous segula that we learned from the third pasuk. For all those that are interested in segulot, you're going to get one today. Honeni Adonai, which means what? Well, you know what? I have the English over here. I like to read from the English sometimes just to get the... I like those fancy words in the English. Here it is. Get the English out over here. How would you say Honeni Hashem? Favor me, God. Favor me. Okay, everyone wants favor. Ki umlal ani. For I am feeble. Feeble, yani weak. Refa'eni, Hashem. Heal me. Ki nibhalu asamai. My bones shudder with terror. Okay, David HaMelech, a simple explanation. He's sick. On the word umlal. Umlal, he called it over here. Because I am feeble. Correct? Favor me, Hashem, for I am feeble. Umlal. Do you hear the word umlal sound like anything? Umlal? You don't hear it. Rabotai, look at the Mitzudat Siyon on the word umlal. Inyan kirita. Kirita means to cut. Kemo yemolel v'yavesh. When you cut a piece of grass, yemolel. V'hu melashon milah. Oh, melashon milah. So milah actually means to cut. To circumcise means to cut. So what is he saying over here? Honeni Hashem, God have mercy on me. You know why he should have mercy on me? Ki umlal ani, because I am cut. What does it mean I am cut? I am circumcised. And therefore, because I am circumcised, that's the reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu has to be, have mercy. So therefore, you see that Pasuk also is referring to the inyan of the Brit Milah. But watch. There's an unbelievable explanation by a rabbi called Rabbi Eliyahu Gutmacher. Gutmacher is Ashkenazi name, Rabotai. That's for sure. If you look over here in Gemara Shabbat, on Daf Kuf Lamed, in the back of the book of Gemara Shabbat, they have the Hagahot of Rabbi Eliyahu Gutmacher. He says something unbelievable. He says, "Begam ita be'olelot Ephraim." He's calling a sefer called Olelot Ephraim. Shekol chole, anybody that's sick. Hamid Palil O Bitfila Avur Hanimon. When you pray for the child at the Brit Milah, that at the time of a circumcision, you should pray for the child. What are you praying for the child? That it should be okay. Yechaven Honeni Hashem Ki Umlal Ami. She'ani nimol, which means have rachmanut on the umlal, on the child that's getting circumcised. V'gam yichaven kol adam al tsarotav. And then you should also mechaven for your troubles. Be'et bechi hanimol. When the child is crying, mi yisurei hamila, when he's crying from the yisurin of the brit mila, shekol ze ole bili moneya. Unbelievable. The call of the child goes up when he's crying at the brit mila without any interference. Mikol kelipa, there's no kelipot. Sheikhlal gam tefilato al ze. Throw your tefila in as well. Al ze ne'emar. Oh. So look at the pasuk. Look at the pasuk in this chapter. He reads it like this: Honeni Hashem ki umlal ani. Ki umlal ani is referring to the brit milah. At the time of the brit milah, you're praying for the child that the child should have a refuah. If any Hashem ki b'nevalu asamai, referring to the baby. But then if you look at Pasuk, quoting it here, v'gam tefilato azeh ne'emar, ki shama Adonai kol b'chi, ke omer b'chi ha'yelid ha'nimol, shama Adonai tehinati, Adonai tefilati yikach. Which means if you look at chapter 6, where we're up to now. Pasuk Yud. Shama Hashem tefilati. Or actually, right before that, Pasuk Tet. Ki Shama Hashem kol bichyi. God hears the call of the bichyi, of the child crying. And at the time that the child is crying, Shama Adonai tehinati. God hears my prayer as well. Adonai tefilati yikah. God will take my prayer. So you see in this chapter over here, there is a sigula for praying at the time of the brit milah, specifically when the child is crying. But if you look at the Lashon, he says, shekol hole hamitpalel bitfila avur hanimol. Again, the key is you're praying for the nimol. We said this many times, that when a person comes to a brit milah and the baby's crying, first you have to pray for the baby that's crying, not for yourself. That would be a selfish thing. All of a sudden you see a guy gets hit by a car, he's crying, he's crying, please give me panasa, give me money, give me life. Hey, the guys, pray for the guy. So the people today get so caught up in these sigulot, they forget to pray for the kid that's crying. That's when, like when they go to a wedding, they give out these cards that you should pray for, you know, panasa and all good things at the time of the chuppah, because it's a etratzon. But the main thing is to pray for the adam mikala. You're right. Same thing at the brit, but you're forgetting to pray for the kid. Then right. You add yourself in. First, you pray for the kid. That's what he says over here. The bigger douche. He says, "Avura nimod yichaven honeni yashir ki umlal ani shani nimod vegam yichaven kol adam atzalotav." And then he says, "Vehu etzam miflaa." It's unbelievable advice. Melachen yesh lenhog lomar rak mizmor zeh. You should say this mizmor at the time of the Tehillim, as at the time of the brit milah as well. So again, let's read it again. The pasuk is to be read: Honeni Hashem, have mercy on me, ki umlal ani. At the time of the brit milah, umlal. Nefa'eli Hashem is going on the child. Ki nebalu atzamai, the etzim of the child. Oh, ki shama Hashem kol bichi, God will hear the call of the bichi of the child, and at that time, shama Hashem tehinati, God will hear my prayers. Also, Hashem tefilati yikach, He will take my prayers as well. So again, that's what we got to Inyan, to pray at the time of the brit milah. Now, once already we're talking about this Inyan of tefilah, this chapter gives us a few very, very integral rules in how to make our tefillot more effective. By the way, that's something you're going to see throughout the Tehillim. Tehillim is David HaMelech praying to God through Tehillim. So in the chapters, you're going to see different etzot, ideas of how to pray to God. Which it's an art, Rabotai. It's not just to take a siddur and start opening it up. Part of the inyan of the tefillah is to know the rules, how to work. So one rule you see over here is, open up the pasuk. Look at the pasuk, Vav. David HaMelech is praying for life over here. He's praying for life. Now, by the way, this came to my mind. According to this, that would explain why the eighth beracha of the Amidah is Refa'enu. The eighth beracha of the Amidah is Refa'enu keneged the Brit Milah. That's the Gemara Megillah says. Because when you're praying for the Refa'enu, you're praying for all those children that were circumcised on the eighth day. That's why somebody once asked me a question. Why in the beracha of the Refa'enu, which is the eighth beracha of the Amidah, do we say Baruch Ata Hashem Rofe Chole Amo Yisrael? When it comes to Asher Yatzar, when you come out of the bathroom, you say Rofe Chol Basa. Why, when it comes to the Refa'enu, you say Rofe Chole Amo Yisrael? The explanation is simple, because since the eighth beracha of the Amidah is connected Brit Milah, who takes Brit Milah? Bnei Yisrael.
Not the benot.
Not the goyim. So therefore, the gaber Refa'el, we say Rofeh Ola Amo Yisrael. Can you bring me that? When it comes to going to the bathroom, goyim go to the bathroom also. By the way, you think only the Jews go to the bathroom? Everybody goes to the bathroom. The Rofeh Kol Basar Mafila Asod is referring to everybody. That would be a chiluk in that. Now David HaMelech says a pasuk vav. He's praying for life. David HaMelech was really praying for life. Kanere he was sick. He was in a situation. He's praying to Hashem, Choneni Hashem, Refa'eni. Shuvah Hashem, Halitza Nafshi, strengthen my nefesh, Hoshi'eni. Lema'an Hasdecha, by the way. David HaMelech, with all his zikuyot, he says, save me and redeem me, Lema'an Hasdecha, because of your kindness. Which means, David HaMelech doesn't feel he deserves it. He said, but God, you do chesed. Chesed means you give things for free. Because you're so kind, the man has decha. But then look at what he says. Ki en b'mavet zichrecha. Because if I die, I can't mention you in death. I can't remember you. Bishol in the grave, mi yodelach. Who's going to praise you? Who's going to thank you? Who's going to... Which over here you see, Rabotai, a very important yesod in tefillah. David HaMelech is asking for life. Why? Not for himself. Chaim Volozhin says, the key of tefillah is that you're praying for the purpose of God's sake. For the sake of God, not for your sake. Which means, I'll give you a classic example of what this means. You have a story of Hannah. Hannah was a lady that was barren, did not have children. The Gemara says that somebody that did not have children is as if, chas v'shalom, like they're dead. You cannot imagine the tzar that a person can have if there's no children. And she was in that situation. And the pasuk says that Hannah comes and she prays to God. V'titpalel al Hashem. The Gemara says, what does it mean, al Hashem? It should say, el Hashem. V'titpalel el Hashem, not al Hashem. So Rav Chaim Volozhin, in Nefesh HaChayim, he says an unbelievable explanation. She said, you know why I want a child? I don't want a child for myself. I don't want a child to get all the motherly benefits of having a child, that I can dress it up, and I can feed it, and all the sipuk, and all the nahad. If I have a child, I'm going to dedicate this child for God. Like she did when Shmuel was born, he was 2 years old, she sent him to the Beit Midrash. By the way, at 2 years old, that's when you start to enjoy the kids. And all of a sudden, she already sent him to the yeshiva. Who was enjoying the Shmuel at 2 years old? Eliyahu Kohen. And Hannah already... So you see that her whole kavanah was, give me a child in order that we could have another soldier to serve you. Not for me. But if there's another child in the world, I'll raise him with the chinuch and I'll do more mitzvot. Which incidentally, the Sefer HaChinuch writes, that's the whole reason why we do Piriyah V'Rabiyah. The reason for Piriyah V'Rabiyah, why God wants us to have children, is so we can add more servants to God's army, to God's regime, another officer. Oh, so v'tetpalel al Hashem. She prayed for God's sake. That's al Hashem. Not to Hashem. She prayed for Hashem, al Hashem. You understand what I'm saying? V'hi marat nafesh. It says she was bitter. But v'tetpalel al Hashem. The simple way you learn it is she was bitter. She was depressed. So she prayed to God. But Rav Chaim V'Lavin says, even though she was bitter, and even though she had those instincts that are personal instincts to want to have a child, she removed herself from the equation, but to Palel al Hashem, she was 100% for God's sake. Not for any personal reason. Now I agree, it's not so easy to have that pure Kavanah, but really that's one of the items that David HaMelech is teaching us in this chapter over here. Why do I want life? Because ki en b'mavet zichrecha, I can't mention you in the grave. I can't write Tehillim from the grave. Give me life, and I promise you, God, you're going to benefit from it. It's all for you. That's a tremendous, tremendous item. Now we're coming to the high holidays, Rabotai. The high holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. This is the theme of the prayer that we make in the beginning of the Amidah. The beginning of the Amidah, on the high holidays, during Asrei Tishrei, we say, Zochrenu lehayim, melech habet v'hayim, kotvenu besefer hayim, lema'anach Elohim hayim. We're telling God, kotvenu besefer hayim. We want to be written in the book of life, but why do we want life? Lema'anach. We want life for your sake. Lema'anach. We don't want life in order that we can just do our own things. If you give us life, you're going to be the beneficiary of it because we're going to give everything back to you. We're going to do it for you. The mashal that I once saw brought down in the Sifte Hayim, a freelander, he says on this point, you understand what we're saying? You have to pray for Kibbutz Shamayim. You have to pray for God's sake. So he brings the mashal. He says there was a certain store, I guess like a Home Depot in the older days, where they would sell all building materials. It's all building materials, you know, to build houses and stuff. And, you know, all the contractors come early in the morning and they line up outside the store before it opens up with their list of all the materials that they need for that day. All of a sudden, one of the guys shows up, a contractor, and the line is around the block. Okay, it's a stand-on line. He's in the back. All of a sudden, one of the officers from the government comes there. And he sees the guy standing in the back. He says, what are you doing in the back? He says, what do you mean? I'm waiting online to you. I need to buy the materials. He says, you don't stand in the back. You go to the front. He brings him to the front. Tell him everything you need. Give it to him immediately. So everybody's screaming online. Hey, we're here from 6 o'clock in the morning. What does it mean? The guy comes over there. He cuts the line. So the officer tells the people, Rabotai, you see this guy? He's taking this raw material to build a palace for the king. The king goes first. He's not doing it for himself. All you people are building for personal benefit. He's building it for the king. And therefore give him his stuff. And not only that, the guy says, hey, how come he's not paying for it? No, he gets it for free. The king's paying for it. And that's what Rav Chaim Friedlander said, that when a person is asking God for life, if you come along and say, I want it for my personal, God says, personal, I don't know about that. But if you say, no, but I want to do it so I can build your palace. Well, you come first. He comes first. Come on. You cut the line. And not only that, I give it to you for free. Because I'm giving you all this stuff in order that you'll be able to serve me. That's actually how the Rambam learns all the reward that the Torah tells you if you do the mitzvot. Torah says, if you do this, you're going to get the rain, and you're going to get patnasah, and there's going to be peace, and there's going to... So the Rambam asks, how can the Torah promise us reward? I thought there's no reward for the mitzvot in this world. And here the Torah is telling you to get all these things. He said, no, the reward is going to be that if you do the mitzvot, God will make your life easy and tranquil so you can do more mitzvot. It's not the reward for the mitzvah. The reward for the mitzvah is in Olam Abba, but Borei Olam will give you an easy life to allow you to serve Him. Which is, if a person comes and says, God, I want to serve you, but there's a war, I'm afraid, I don't have parnasah, the health, I can't serve you. So Borei Olam says, if I see you doing the mitzvot, I'll remove all the tirdot and remove all the inconveniences in order to be able to serve God. So that's one of the key elements of tefillah, Rabotai. That you're praying lema'anach. I'm praying for your sake. Of course, it's not easy, obviously. Everybody, Everybody prays because they want stuff. The Zohar HaKadosh says the people come on Rosh Hashanah like dogs. Have. Give me this. Like a shopping list. I'm not saying no. But at least you should add to the tefillah. Give me panasah and I'll give tzedakah. Something I'll give back. Give me health, I can learn better. Every time you make a tefillah, I'm not saying you should be 100% Hashem Shem. That'd be a hard thing to do. But at least you should always include in your mind, if I get this, give me children, I'll send them to yeshiva. Anything that you're going to... Give me a house. I can do hachnasat orchim. People need houses. Give me a house. I'll invite guests. I'll be able to fulfill mitzvah mezuzah. And I'll also enjoy it. I'm not saying no. But at least I'll be able to, you know, have the shiurim in the house and so on and so forth. You have to figure out a way that it's for God's sake. Understand what we're saying? And where do you learn that from? This pasuk. Ki en b'mavet... I'm saying, ki en b'mavet zichrecha. In death, who's going to praise you? B'shom yodelach. Amen. So he asked David, amen, why do you want life? So I can write the Tehillim. Finished. Incidentally, Moshe Rabbeinu was the same thing when he prayed to go into Eretz Yisrael. God tells him, you're going to die. So the people don't want to die. They want to live so they can do mitzvot. So Moshe Rabbeinu makes 515 tefillot. So the Gemara says, why, he wants to eat the Jaffa oranges? Why does he want to go to Israel? He wants to go to Richie's Pizza? What does he want to go to Israel for? Explanation is, he says, no, he wants to fulfill the mitzvah. What else? What do I want life for? For you! I once heard a beautiful derash on the pasuk, David HaMelech says, which is similar to these pasukim here. David HaMelech says, Refa'a nafshi. Like it says over here, Refa'a nafshi. Refa'eni. David HaMelech says, God Almighty, cure me. If any, you know why you should cure me? Because I sinned to you. So the rabbi says, cure me because I sinned? Since when is sinning a sigula for refuah? David HaMelech would say, Refa'eni ki asiti mitzvot. And he was saying, Refa'eni ki hatati. So I saw a beautiful explanation from Magin Beduvna. He says, there was one time a guy, and the rabbi is making a Misha Berach for the sick people. Misha Berach, Abotenu, etc. And all the people are giving the names. So finally one guy comes along and says, have a name for you. So what's the name? John. John. What kind of name is this? Oh, what's his mother's name? Mary. John Ben Mary? It doesn't sound like he's Jewish. Rabbi Dachilak is very sick. Could you pray for him? So, okay. After he finishes, he tells the guy, John Ben Mary, what are you praying for? Rabbi, he's very sick, he's going to die. And therefore, he owes me money. He owes me money. If he dies, I lose my money. David HaMelech was saying, Refa'a nafshi, you know why I want to be healed? Ki hatati lach, because I sinned, I owe you, God. Give me life so I can make teshuvah, so I can pay you back. If I die, I don't make teshuvah. So even David, every prayer of David HaMelech was always Leshem Hashem, was always for the purpose of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore he says again, if I'm going to die, Bish'ol mi yodelach. Who's going to write the Tehillim? Mi yodelach, who's going to praise you? But there's another Hiddush over here, Rabotai, regarding tefillah. Look at the Pasuk. Pasuk Tet. Ki shama Hashem kol b'chi. Big item. Ben Ari says that one of the keys in tefillah is bichiyot. Bichiyot is crying. You know, not everybody can get to them to cry. But if you have the emotion, shared demalon in alu, even on the yamin nura'im, to me'orer himself, if he can cry, it's a big item, it's a big thing. So comes Rav Hidan, he says, but not everybody knows how to cry. Sometimes the guy, Albo Barit, he has a cold heart. Guy's he's a cold fish. He doesn't cry, no emotions, the guy. So Rav Hidas is a big chiddush. He says, you should pray in a crying sound.
Wail.
Exactly, wail. Like we do on the Yamin Nuraim. Right? Abinu, Malkenu. You're not crying, you're praying in that way. So he comes along and he says, where do you see that Hidat says that there's inyan to pray in the sound of a call? So he says this pasuk that we just read in Tehillim, Perek Vav Pasuk Tet, Ki Shama Adonai Kol Bichli. He says the call means the sound of the bechiya. Why didn't it say kishuv Hashem bechiyi? Because he wasn't crying. Sometimes you won't be able to come to cry. Then he says you have to employ the inyan of kol bechiyi, which is the voice of the crying, which is the sounds of the crying. But there's another inyan of the tefillah rabotai, which is a big chiddush from Meir Simcha Kohen Medvinsk. We call that the Meshech Chokmah. He learns it from the pasuk Yud. Shama Adonai Tehinati, Adonai Tefillati Yikah. What's the difference between Tehinati and Tefillati? Once and for all, we're going to learn something. What does it mean Tehinati, Tefillati? Don't tell me English. I'm not interested in English. Tehinati, supplications. Tefillah, my prayer. Okay, what does it mean supplications of prayer? No, we know that trick. They tell me English words. The English word doesn't help me. I need to know the depth of the word. Tehinati, Tefillati. May I say, Hakram Devin says. He says, on the pasuk by Yaakov Abinu. Yaakov Abinu in Perashat Bereshit, in Sefer Bereshit Memchet, pasuk Chavet, when he's blessing his son, he says, I want to give you a piece of land. He says, and this piece of land over here, I conquered. He says, had I conquered it, I should lakahti miyad the Emori. I got it from the Emori. Beharbi upkashti. Rabotai, what's harbi? What would you call a harib?
Sword.
And kashti?
Bow and arrow.
Bow and arrow. Beautiful. If you look at the unkelos over there, famous unkelos, everybody knows it. Beharbi upkashti, says the unkelos, bisloti ubaoti. Bisloti ubaoti, my prayers. That means the harib and the keshet of Yaakov is not the physical harib keshet. It's actually bisloti ubaoti. So come to Meshech Chokhmah, he says, what is the difference between siloti and baoti? Bisloti, by the way, titkabal, silotana or baotana? We say in Kaddish. Oh, wow. What's the difference between them? We say it every day. Titkabal, silotana or baotana? Our prayers and our requests. So he said, beautiful. He says, in every tefillah we have, the standard text, that's called tefillah. That's called siloti. The Amidah, the text, the 18 berachot, the 19 berachot. That's the set text of the manchikin is the gedolah. That's called siloti. Tetkabal silotana. What's uba'otana? That's the personal tefillot that you make, the stuff that you add. You know, in the Amidah, we throw in our own stuff. A guy at the end of the Amidah, I might pray for a personal situation. In Shabbat Kolel, he throws in certain things, Hodim, certain items. That's called Ba'oti. That's the personal stuff. My personal Ba'oti, my personal request. So we're asking in the Kaddish that Kabal Selotana or Ba'otana. Selotana, the 19 Berachot, and Ba'otana. But the Meshech Chokmah says something brilliant. There's a difference between Seloti and Ba'oti. Siloti, when you pray the regular Amidah, even if you don't have Kavanah, it works. Why? Because that was already written by the men of the Great Assembly. When the men of the Great Assembly, that Chikos wrote the Amidah, they put all the Kavanot in those words. So you just have to say those words. Besides the first Berachah, the Amidah, you need Kavanah. All the other Berachot, you say it, and there's already energy in the words from them. Kavanta? But your personal prayers, those belong to you. The only way the personal prayers has neshama, has energy, you have to put a kavanah in it. Because you can't rely on that chicken zigadullah when it comes to your own items. Your personal prayers don't have a precedent. It's starting by you. So therefore, when it comes to ba'oti, you have to have kavanah. Levanta? It's a big thing. So he says something unbelievable. There's a difference between a Abotai, there's something, a difference between a sword, and a bow and arrow. Which of these two weapons needs more preparation in order for it to work? The sword or the bow and arrow? I'll explain. Remember I said the question wrong, but you answered wrong. So I'll say the question a little differently so you answer right this time. A sword, you just pick it up, you're in front of the guy, you lance him, it works. The other one, you have to lift it up, you have to aim, you have to see, you have to release, you have to... It's a whole avodah. The hayrib, boom, you take the hayrib, boom, you lance the guy. By the way, the hayrib works even without kavanah. If you're in front of the guy, you just lance the guy by mistake, you can kill him. But a keshet, bow and arrow, you can't do without kavanah.
You can miss.
Yeah, you will miss. If you do without kavanah, you will miss. So you need kavanah. So therefore, the Mishnah says beautifully. It says, Beharbi ubkashti. And how does the Targum explain it? Besloti umbaoti. Siloti is the set prayer of the chicken. That's like harbi. It works even without kavanah. It works easily. However, ubaoti, that's the personal, that's like kashti. That's like the bow and arrow that needs more, more precision. Oh. So based on this, he explains the pasuk by David HaMelech. He says, Shama Adonai Tichinati. Tichinati is the personal prayers that a person makes. So he says, Shama Hashem Tifilati. Tichinati. God will hear my Tichina, which means that's something personal, which means I need God to hear, because I need to have Kavanah so he'll hear it. However, Hashem Tifilati Yikah. When it comes to tefillati, he just takes it. You don't have to hear it. Just take it. It's automatic. Hashem tefillati yikah. When it comes to tefillot, just take it. Put it in the box. It doesn't matter what he does. However, tehinati yishma. When it comes to tehinati, my personal ones, that already he has to hear. Last derash on this rabotai, which again, so we're learning from this chapter two things. Number one, we're learning the inyan of the Brit Milah, which that's what he wrote it. And we're learning the inyan to pray at the Brit Milah. And we're also learning how to pray. The first thing we're praying is to pray for the sake of Borei Olam. The second thing is we're learning that there's a difference between Senotana and Ba'otana. And the last thing we say is that it says in this pasuk over here, Shama Adonai Tehenati. Now Shama is past tense. God heard my prayer. Hashem Tefilati Yikah. Yikah is?
He will take.
Make up your mind. Is it past or future? So I saw a beautiful explanation. It was one time somebody needed to get to the king. He needs to ask the king. He has a big request. So he goes and he finds out that you can go, stand online, get a ticket, and you get 30 seconds. The guy says, I need 2 minutes. Like 30 seconds, I can't tell him what I need in 30 seconds. He said, well, that's what you do. So he went to the rabbi. He said, listen, Hacham, you have advice for me? I only get 30 seconds. What's your advice? He says, when you get to the king, in the 30 seconds, ask him if you can have 2 minutes another time. Use your 30 seconds to get 2 minutes another time. So therefore, the same thing, explanation over here, David HaMelech is saying, Shama Hashem Tehinati. God heard my request. What was his request? Hashem Tefillati Yikah. That next time when I come to you, accept my tefillah. David HaMelech was in front of God. He only has a few minutes. He's busy. He tells Borei Olam, please, Borei Olam, I need your time. When I come to you, please accept my tefillot. That was his tefillah. And all of a sudden, God answered him. So it says, Hashem, Shama Hashem Tehinati. God heard my prayer. And what was my prayer? Hashem Tefillati Yikah. That when I come to you, you'll accept my tefillot. And that's what we pray also to Borei Olam. You have to pray, not only to pray to God, you have to pray that your tefillah will be accepted. That's a separate tefillah. And we never knew that. I mean, that's a tefillah or a tefillah. I always thought, hey, you pray, it gets accepted. No, you have to pray to Borei Olam that when I come to pray to you, you'll accept it. Because it could be there's other variables. Maybe there's Mekatrigim, maybe the guy's not pure, maybe the guy... So you have to say, Borei Olam, listen, I'm asking you now that I have your attention, when I come to you and pray, accept it. So therefore, Shama Hashem Tehinati, God heard me. And what was the tefillah that I said? Hashem Tefillati Yikah. That Hashem, when I come to you to pray, you'll accept it. So that would be, again, the main theme of chapter Vav. So anybody asks you, theme of chapter Vav, the Inyan of the Brit Milah of David HaMelech Alav HaShalom, that's when he talks about it and he praises God. And in that chapter as well, since the time of Brit Milah is the time of tefillah, he gives us some of the sodot in order for our tefillah to be answered. I would tell our members, since we're in the Chodesh Elul, that Bezat Hashem, we should have a Kotvenu Lehayim, Lema'anach Elohim Hayim. It should be a inscription in the Book of Life of Lema'anach for your sake, and also Bezat Hashem, Titkabal Selotana Uba'otana, that God should not only accept the standard tefillot that we make, but He should also accept the personal tefillot that we make. As David HaMelech says, Shama Adonai Tehinati, Adonai Tefillati Yekach. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. 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 Amen.